first meeting of the year to order. Some of the items that we worked on last year were tested here this week. We're going to be, I'm sure, getting reports on everything that's gone on, but one of the first things that crossed my mind watching the news the other evening, when they said Kenosha had 18,000 people out of power, was that new generator. I heard everything worked well, and I know we'll hear about that tonight, but thank Jesus that we did what we did there. There was a ribbon cutting for the new court today, so that's another completion. And big bad stretch of weather we had looks like it's going to make it so we can have our fishing derby.
That's right.
Out at the Katy Park. So those are the three things. I drove in there today, and somebody had drilled a lot of holes, and there was about, they said about 14 inches of ice, so we'll see what happens. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So that's all I have. Welcome to everybody. Happy New Year.
And,
we don't have Supervisor Grady. We've got everyone else. That's our roll call. The minutes from the previous meeting, if everyone had received those, had a chance to look at them, if we could have a motion to approve those. Nobody got them.
No, I wasn't there last meeting. So.
So I already made my comments. Any other committee member? Anything? If not, we'll move on. Citizens' comments. Any citizens that would wish to speak? And seeing none, citizens' comments will be closed. So we'll move on to operations for facilities. Mike.
Well, I'll start out by saying that all the generators work perfectly. No hiccups whatsoever, so that's a good thing. Usually when we have things like that, we get a couple hiccups, but none to speak of, really, generators at least. So starting with the Focus on Energy project list, two projects moved from the ongoing list to the completed list. I think you guys got the sheet, so they're the ones in red. One of the projects was at KCJC, and it was upgrading T12 fixtures to LED. Our electrician did that in-house, and that's complete. And the other one was also at the job center, and it was upgrading the hot water systems to tankless systems. So that's a big accomplishment maintenance-wise for us. And that was done by both our in-house electrician and HVAC, no contractors.
So I want to say, because I see people looking through folders, but we failed to get that spreadsheet in the packet.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Apologize for that.
All right. Any questions on it before I move? Good. So the other list, I've got one project, and that's to follow up on the KCDC UPS replacement project. I had hoped that would be done over the holidays. It turns out about a quarter of the parts were backordered. They're coming in on January 10th to the vendor, and the vendor is going to bring it down after our electrician in-house does some rewiring of the room itself. We're targeting about January 17th now to have that completed. So, hopefully that goes smooth. That's it for that one. That's all I got.
That's good.
That's it.
Any questions for Mike?
See ya. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that you replaced some water heaters with tankless water heaters. How many did you replace?
Seven.
Is the intention to do that in every building?
No, that one's kind of unique. Gas does not run to all the different locations. And we don't have piping that goes, you know, from one end of the building to the other. It's to a hot water heater system. So what you've got over there is wherever you need a hot water source, pretty much bathrooms or kitchenettes, you have individual locations where there's just a water heater that's usually right up in the ceiling above.
Like a little?
Just a small, not even 20, 5s, 10s. I think there's 115. And, you know, there were quite quite a few of them before, but we've consolidated a little bit now and tightened that up some. So it's a lot better situation than it was before.
Anything else for Mike? If not, we'll move on to Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A lot of activity at the public safety building second floor project. The entire second floor, as you know, was empty, and we built it all out, and the Sheriff's Department detective staff moved into the second floor the week of December 4th, and they're all operational. Joint Services Admin moved up to the second floor too, temporarily, where we remodeled their area. The EOC staff has all moved upstairs, and the EOC event room is operational. They have a big main display up in front. Before they had the one TV up in front, now we basically times that by four, that they can show either a big, all big, or they can divide it into four. They've got all the capabilities they had before. We've got a cell phone repeater up there and everything. We're gonna be adding, or we wanna add, some TVs along the back. We had prepped it for the future, and we think we can add those in. So we're looking to complete it all by the end of the month, but right now they've got everything to be operational.
Frank, could you, for people that might not know, say what the EOC is?
Good point. We use all these acronyms. Emergency Operations Center. Emergency Operations Center, back when they opened the building, I think in 82, probably. It was down in the basement, and of course, there were no laptop computers back then, or cell phones, things like that. And they've got every major function of the city and the county, including such as Red Cross, things like that. And it's to respond to any type of emergency, from the big blizzard we had to, originally, we had the Zion Nuclear Power Plant right here, and tornadoes that we had 10 years ago, that was just in the paper.
That's why I brought this up, because the impetus for moving this and getting it out from the basement was because we had so many people when that tornado happened, communications didn't work.
Literally, and you know what, I want to say there's probably just, I think it's like 16, 17 different organizations in a room that was roughly this size. And when Dennis says it, each table was supposed to be each organ, the Kenosha Police Department, Kenosha Highway Department, you know, Kenosha County Government, City Hall. And so they'd have a two-person desk with a laptop and a telephone, and just as Dennis said, they were like this, sardines. And to the modern standards, it just wasn't functional. People have to be able to break out into teams, like, you know, firefighters, you know, from the county seat, city, to break out in a team. So we've got the room set up for it. It's large enough, they can break it out. We've got tables that are all actually on rollers. So really, it meets modern standards.
Right. And this is the anniversary of those tornadoes yesterday, or the day before.
Is all the space taken now in that second floor, or is there still room for expansion?
No, all the space is taken.
It is open.
Yes. This was the expansion.
Right.
The only thing I want to add to, Frank, is to that EOC room, because it's a fairly significant room in terms of square footage, and so they've designed it for maximum flexibility, because 99% of the time it's not being used. When you need it, you need it, all, you know, a full operation, but when you don't, it's there for training. So it's available. I believe the Sheriff's Department already has used it for some training events, and I believe it's going to be open to KPD as well. It's going to be there, so it'll be used probably on a daily
basis. That's why I bring it up, because I know on the KPD side, there's a little talk of their using up all their space, and they may need to expand someday in the near future. So I was just wondering what that second floor was like. I was up there, I walked around, it's quite large, and hallways all over, and the one hallway to nowhere, you know, that's what I call it, just goes on and on and on. But I was just wondering if there's room for expansion for either department.
Okay, it's pretty well built out right now, but the flexibility that's up there should hopefully afford some little bit of safety relief for at least larger events or special events. So that's always the
question.
Right, the medical examiner moving in there too?
No, just getting to that. I'm just getting to that.
Okay.
Good point, though. So other than the EOC, any other questions on the EOC? I think Ray made a good point. We designed it knowing that emergencies are few and far between. Training, it's got capabilities to put webinars and things, so it really is to take maximum use of the space.
And I'll interrupt you again for a second before we move on. Ray and I spoke on Friday about this committee taking some tours of some of this. I think we have to do that here February, March, if we can.
Once we complete the medical examiner space, then we can do the whole circuit.
Because everybody's very interested in it, all these projects we've been working on and talking about. I've seen some of it, but to see the new facility for the automobile,
yep,
you know, for the maintenance division, and to see all this, I think we should do it. Whether we do it, we won't do it in the evening, so that'll give you something to think about, Frank, where we set up something during the week, during the day, try to fit everybody's schedule.
I think it'd be an excellent idea, and Ray can probably touch on this, but the director of joint services with the new automobile thing said it exceeded his expectations.
Right. Well, we've got the courtroom, we've got Brookside, we've got a bunch of things that we've...
It was a lot.
This committee and this department.
Okay, some of us aren't here in June or so. You never know, right? I was told I was retiring. That's what the people running against me were telling people at the grocery store, that I was retiring. So I think I'll be here.
Any other questions on EOC? Okay. So as part of this, the first floor sheriff's area, the detectives moved upstairs. We gutted the detectives area, which had interview rooms, holding rooms, things like that. We gutted those, and we're building out those for administration, administrative people, HR, finance, project people, things like that. The demo is 85% complete. The wall framing in that area is well on its way. So we're looking at completion of those areas by the end of February, getting people moved in. We're also adding some emergency power to the critical people in the Sheriff's Department too while we're there. So that'll help them withstand any power outages. The former fleet maintenance area that was on the west side of the public safety building, that demo is 100% complete. That's where the medical examiner is going in. So we're taking an old greasy auto shop and kind of turning it into almost like a hospital grade for laboratories and things. It's quite a challenge. So construction is well on its way. We're looking at a 4-1 completion date for the medical examiner. So, well before you retire, take the tour. So, any other questions? Next point is the courtroom branch 4 remodel. As Mr. Chairman just said, we had the ribbon cutting this morning. Everybody seemed very happy. The judge was happy. Chief Judge had signed off on it before he left. He was going out of town. He signed off last week. And we've got a few punch list items on there, but it was ready to go. They had a trial this morning, but they settled, so it was over in 5 minutes. That's it.
Any questions for Frank on any of this? Now we'll move on to Highway to Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that today makes exactly 1 year when Gary abandoned me. And and I've been learning the ropes. I just want to say that, to thank all of you, especially from this committee, for the patience. You know, it wasn't as smooth as Gary's, but I've learned a lot, and hopefully this year will be smoother, and the response will be much better and cleaner than last year, and hopefully meet your expectations. I just wanted to say thank you for for being so patient with me. Right now, the division is fully in the winter mode. We are experiencing early icing. It's not usually at this time that we get some serious icing, but we'll be having some serious icing. But fortunately, I looked at the tonnage of salt we've been using so far to compare with what we used last year, because I was anticipating a huge amount of small salt use, but we're about the same. So, but then again, there we're getting some icing. So we are fully in the winter mode, and the fluctuation of the frigid temperature, we'll just be watching and trying to make sure that we keep the roads well safe for commuters and for the public. Other than that, we are also doing some other general routine maintenance, such as crack sealing, brushing, covered repairs, and shouldering at various locations within the county. And right now, we are also collecting, we're doing, using GPS technology to do covert inventory for the entire county. And this is as a result of what we experienced during the emergency time. It's going to help us from an operational standpoint to pinpoint exactly which covert and when we crews are going out, they know exactly where they're going. And then secondly, it would improve our response time during emergencies. So we, it's something that we are working on, so that's why I mentioned it here. It's still in progress, it's still very at the rudimentary stage. So as time goes on, hopefully we'll perfect it and make it very, very useful for us. And right now also, because of the experience we've been having in the past, so we're developing our paving program, a schedule for the paving season. We've already started. We've done, I would say, it's about 90% complete right now, so that we, by the time we start paving, we should be, you know, well synced with the program, and things will move smooth, that's our hope. So what we are doing right now, we are just site reviewing all the road segments that we'll be paving, identifying all the repair works and try to prioritize them and see which work could be done now. If not, then we'll have to do during the paving season, because what we observe is that we spend more time doing some repair work during the paving time, and so it reduces the time for paving. So if we could do some of those repair work ahead of time, it's going to help us pave more mileage than we are doing right now. That's our hope. And but this year, we didn't really hit the mark, because right now we're still figuring out. We're supposed to have figured it out before now. So hopefully by this time next year, we'll be way ahead of the game. Some project updates. The most significant one is the County Trunk Highway S project. I would like to report here that we got concurrence from FAA with the RPC analysis that we've been talking so much about. So I'm happy to report that the county preferred option is what we are going to be executing as a project. And so it's a good thing, because we are going to build the road the way it was initially designed, so which is good. Right now, what we are doing right now is, this also paved the way for the FHWA and DOT to review our environmental document, because the main hurdle we had was that FHWA will not review the environmental document until we have resolved all issues with all stakeholders. And so that was a very critical issue that we were able to overcome. And so right now the designer is updating the environmental document to include the concurrence from FAA so that FHWA will recognize the fact that all issues have been resolved and they'll be able to review our environmental document. And by so doing, the project can move forward. The next step will now be is to actually have the right of way. And the other way we can have the right of way is to have what they call a concurrence use agreement, because FAA does not sell airport property, but we can use it together with the airport. That's what means by the concurrence use. So we are in the process of understanding what is required for that concurrence use agreement in order to develop the document with the city, and then we can then submit, and that would pave the way for everything to move forward without any issues. So far, so good. We're working behind the scene. It's a slow process, but we're moving forward. Any question on that project?
Well, with the first construction, if you could tell everyone, that's 2020 approximately?
Yes. I think we are shooting for 2020, both construction, both segments, because we have two segments from Highway 31 to H and from H to I-94. The Highway 31, the segment between Highway 31 and H is the one that is federally funded, that has federal funds in it. It's an 80-20 split. And then from H to Highway 31, to I-94, is fully county funded. And so we're working with the county section that this county, the section that's fully funded by this county, we are progressing, we are accelerating it in order to meet the schedule for what I call phase one, which is the federally funded one, so that we can construct both at the same time. That would just make the construction zone similar, you know, the inconvenience will be reduced. Instead of doing it twice, we'll do it once. So that is the goal. So we're hoping we'll be able to achieve that if everything works well.
Thank you.
The next project, this one's a project that was still pending last year, County Trunk Highway H and Bain Station intersection in Pleasant Prairie. The project is completed, substantially completed, and it's been open to traffic. We'll be doing the punch list in early spring. The punch list will just be, well, after the winter, did the grass do well? If not, then we can then, you know, do the necessary mitigations. If not, other than that, the roundabout is fully functional and it's operational as it's supposed to be. The last one here is the Pike Trail project, which is ongoing. The contractor will be constructing the boardwalk during the winter. That's the plan. Unfortunately, they've not been able to work for the past 2 weeks because of very frigid temperatures. But hopefully next week they are planning to start constructing the boardwalk. They plan to do to construct the boardwalk throughout the winter, and any other construction will be done after when the weather is more conducive for construction. That's all I have for today.
Any questions for Bob? Yes, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any truth to the rumors that the state is going to take over County Trunk H from KR to approximately 158 Highway 50?
Not to my knowledge.
So nobody's contacted you?
We haven't heard anything.
No, we've never heard anything. The only thing I would say about this is in regards to all Foxconn related issues is that it's very fluid. It's changing because They're trying to do a lot within a short period of time, and so things are changing. We've been having meetings, and so for now, that information might be true now, but tomorrow might not be true. So, but we've not heard anything.
So nobody's knocked on your door?
No.
So just to, because we've had, I think you had one utility meeting, I think, with Foxconn since our last committee meeting.
Yes.
And so there hasn't been as much activity as I figured there was going to be. There was actually two meetings that the county exec had that the DOA had scheduled with him that they had canceled at the last minute. And then that's supposed to happen now this Wednesday. Because we just got the meeting notice today that Clem and I are supposed to go to that. So we're hoping that they've kind of sorted out who's actually running the show between DOA and DOT, because that appeared to be a crux of some of this, and there's all kinds of rumors and stuff floating around. So we're hoping we're going to start to get good, solid information from the state folks.
I'd be very interested, obviously, our next meeting to hear what happens, because the chatter I've heard is that's part of the discussion, and my curiosity then is to how does that relate to some of these projects that we have, specifically at H&S.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that we are monitoring the schedules very closely because it's very fluid. But if you look at the way things are going, S will be constructed in 2020. Most of the major construction within that area will be completed. And so what we are doing now is if we have any project within that area, we try to, you know, postpone or delay and to make sure that they get out of the area. But what I can tell you though is that the streets like County Trunk Highway A and H will be seriously used, and so there might be some, well, we know that there will have to be some upgrades to them, but they're still working on the details.
Thank you.
Anything else for Clement? No, thank you, Clement, and we will move on to the parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First thing we have is three separate resolutions. First one being a resolution to apply and accept the funds from the DNR for County Conservation Aids Grant. So as my ongoing anthem is, anytime you apply for a grant with the DNR, no matter big or small, you still need a resolution to correspond to that. So this one is our annual request for county conservation aids. Every county receives some type of financial aid. So this is gonna, for this year, go towards helping assist with our prairie restoration projects over at KD Park and over at the Kenosha County Center. So these were planned projects that we were gonna do anyway, but this qualifies to offset some of those expenses with this financial aid. So we're just seeking the approval through this resolution to do such, applying for something of this grant.
Well, this grant is for $3,200, and our match would be $1,630.
Correct. Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Boston, seconded by Supervisor Wamble. Any discussion? If not, do the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
That carries. We'll move on.
Excellent. The next one is another annual resolution to continue our bird city status. So this is to have a resolution for the 2018 International Migratory Bird Day Proclamation. So every year, Bird City and the organization needs an authorized resolution. Brings in not only the benefits of more activities in our park system, but also community awareness through the bird population. There's economic reasons for doing that as well. So in order to have our annual status updated, we need this resolution passed as well.
So can I get a motion for Bird City? Supervisor Franco, Supervisor Bode. Any discussion? Do the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Last resolution is to accept grant funding for the Kenosha County Parks Wetland Restoration. This is a grant we were awarded from Fund for Lake Michigan for the amount of $200,000 to go along with our Pipe River Restoration Project. This one is signified as a wetland restoration project, which used to be Petrified Springs Park and Golf Course, Old Lagoon area. If you can picture that on the north side of the parkway that separates the river from the parkway and the golf course. That used to be dredged on an annual basis, probably in the 70s, 60s, potentially 50s. And after they received a new irrigation system, there was no need for that lagoon. So a lot of sediment went in there, and now basically it's just been compiling the amount of not only sedimentation, but also invasive species. You have stormwater runoff from both the golf course and the parkway that's not really being honed in and filtered properly before going to the Pipe River. So what this grant does is it allows us to restore about 3.9 acres of that old lagoon area. It's part of our comprehensive Pipe River Restoration Phase 1 plan that now is at $900,000 in a project amount for next year. So by doing this resolution, we're able to do that budget mod and take in that grant award funding.
Between the work that the Pipe River Group has done, that we've done at that's even all the way up into our parking lots, this is part of the filtration system. This is a very important part of this whole plan. This is a fully funded grant.
Fully funded. No county funding is necessary.
Any discussion or questions?
Move to approve.
Yes.
How does the park think of that? You guys okay with filling this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
And will it increase any mosquitoes or no?
It probably will decrease the amount of mosquitoes because there won't be as much standing water with it in the old lagoon area. So we're going to be doing more trenching and doing these pockets of filtration by adding in more native species, swamp oaks, and it's going to really suck up a lot of what would typically just either sheet off into the river, but it would act as a filtration system by doing more of an engineered soil mix to go back into the river and treat it properly. So hopefully less bugs.
Good question.
Any other questions? We have a motion for this. Supervisor Wendell?
Yeah, motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Bostrom. You the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. Thank you.
Yep. All right, moving on to the division report. Just an update on the numerous roof replacement projects that I've been reporting on the last few months. Most of them are substantially completed in regard to the four small shelters at Fox River Park, also the one at Silver Lake Park Beach Pavilion, and then the one, two, three, four shelters are roofs over at Kemper Center as well. They still have some work as far as the sheet metal, cedar shingles and flashing over at Durkee Mansion, but given this warm weather, that should be done with their punch list of items this week. So that one should be wrapped up within a week or two. Next thing we have is multi-use trails. Just want to say thank you to the Highway Division and Clement for helping us out with 14 miles of completing track sealing. So now that the multi-use trail system is about 6 or so years, it's a good general maintenance to get a lot of those small cracks taken care of and sealing before they get out of control. That really elongates the longevity of those trails. So thank you, Clement, for your help on that. Next, we have an update on Petrifying Springs Park and that barn demo that I spoke of several times. And unfortunately, with our contractors that purchased that barn for $6, they did not show back up. So unfortunately for us,
they bailed on us
for that $6. So I don't know if we're going to go to court for $6 or not, but we're currently looking at other options. And we do have money in the budget that was for the last 3 years, I think, to actually demo that barn. So we do have funds necessary within the county budget. So we're going to go back to our primary option of just seeking some quotes and having that done this winter. We wanted to be more sustainable. We wanted to be economical with it.
Well, Was it under a contract? I'm assuming if they fail, that they can't sue us if we demolish it?
Correct, yeah, that was all worked out in the contract. And we will try to recoup some of those funds that technically that was their responsibility to use. So the cost of actual demoing could be put back on to this company for these contractors. But that through litigation, you know, that's going to go. So next on the list is just an update on Kemper Center with the Lakefront Studio projects. I know that folks from Kemper Center came and gave a presentation about the Lakefront Studios, and they did sign off on all needed contracts and applied for the necessary permits. So now demo has begun, as stated on the report, back on the 2nd of January, and I'll be going to bi-weekly project meetings just to get updates on the status of that project. But as we said before, it'll take about 2 to 3 months to complete the entire project between the two floors within the Simmons Auditorium. And then we have KE Park Multi-Use Trails. We presented that we received a grant through the state to do matching proceeds to complete this multi-use trail project over at KE Park. But unfortunately, the bids came in higher than expected. So we are going kind of, not back to the drawing board, but looking at other viable options to truly have this project within our original threshold as far as budgets go. So since they came back and the lowest one by Bianchi General Contractors was $131,000 and our initial estimate was $98,000, looks like the asphalt crushing was three times higher than what we assumed it would be. And that's based on numerous estimates from our consultant and what Highway gave us. So unfortunately, that's all you can do with this game is use previous quotes and what has been done in the past, and it's a little bit higher than expected. So we're looking at other viable options for this time being. And last thing I have is Pringle Nature Center. I'm not going to go through all those attachments, but you'll see all the reports from the naturalists and other useful information. And then, as Mr. Chairman, you said, we do have the KD Park 4-H youth ice fishing derby coming on January 1st, Sunday. So I'll pass out some flyers either for yourselves or if you know friends or family that have youth that are interested, by all means, join us, and hopefully the weather will cooperate this year. And that is all I have this evening.
Any questions for Matt? Yes.
I'm just concerned, why are you demolishing barn gates just broken down and stuff?
Great question. So we have two barns that are within the Petrifying Springs Park service yard. One still is useful for us, that we can have it for storage. But the other one, it's a two-level barn that doesn't allow for equipment storage. It has small little double doors and a lot of different compartments. So there's no feasible or realistic way to make this barn useful. The shingles on there are mostly ripped off. It's been deteriorated for numerous years. Basically, we've got acquired with the property itself. So as far as making more room for our service yard needs, that's the reason why we're removing it from the property.
Thank you, Matt. And one little comment for the committee and for the youth and governance, too. Even though we are doing well around here, we are still feeling the effects of the lack of contractors that came with our recession. And this little project in the park kind of shows us that, where these bids were a little high. And I'm just trying to prepare people for things that can happen here in the future. We are looking at major road construction in Racine County, major road construction by the state along the frontage road up to the airport. We have been very lucky with our bidding process. Our timing has been fantastic. But when we're looking at projects like Clement's talking about now, about Highway S, we want to prepare everyone. We don't have the contractors that we used to have. When we see bids come in now, there's just not the quantity. There's not the major road builders there were 15, 20 years ago, even 10. So
bids like this, you might question, but in the future, I don't think it's going to be horribly shocking to see that the qualified contractors are being tied up quickly. And so it's going to be even more important how we time everything here, and timing a major road project when there's five major road builders is very difficult. And that's, I think, a little bit what we found out on this little trip.
Yeah. I forgot to mention one thing on the item, as far as Petrified Springs Park reforestation. So just a minor update on that, that everything did get planted with the 317 trees for both the park and the golf course. They did have to remove and strip off some topsoil, so we went through and inspected the site, and it just wasn't up to our standards. So there's a small little TLC, but other than that, that whole entire project will be done too.
Good deal. Supervisor Blythe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with your comments 100%. That's, we're going to enter a very weird time here in the next couple of years as it relates to contractors, not just for streets and roads and whatnot, but for everything. There aren't as many as there used to be. My question, or really comment, this is really just a pet peeve of mine. This flyer that was put out, the address, Burlington, Wisconsin?
That is correct.
I realize you're using the post office address, but it's not in Burlington. It's in Wheatland, right?
Correct. But if you did a MapQuest or whatever else, you need to use that in order to find
the post office address.
So that's why if no one has been there, if you put in like a Wheatland, it probably wouldn't register. It might still figure it out, but that's with a lot of those mailing addresses out west, is it uses Burlington. Even Fox River Park, I'm pretty sure, is Burlington address.
Fox River Park is Burlington.
That was Burlington.
I have 19 acres right next to Fox River Park that I had many angry truck drivers saying, what the hell?
Yeah, that's worse. Yeah.
11 miles from Burlington.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And believe me, I felt the same way when I first got here. I'm like, why can't we make an address just for this area?
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you, Matt. Golf.
Thank you, sir. We had our special holiday golf clearance sale at Petrifying Springs. Really brought about a successful finish to the 2017 golf season. We had to bring in some special merchandise just for that sale. It went well. So it was a very good ending to our year. We're looking forward to this productive off season that we're going through now. We're booking our group events. We're restocking the golf shop, meeting with vendors. We're tuning up all of our equipment, freshening up the clubhouse. We want to say thanks to facilities. Tim Catt is over there doing a marvelous job of helping us with the refresh of the clubhouses. And we're also doing our market research into all the golf rates from all the additional golf courses in the area, trying to figure out where we land and what we should do with our golf rates with the rising rate of employment and everything. So we'll have a recommendation for you guys next month for your approval at the February meeting. And we're working on getting ready for the golf shows. We're going to Chicago and Milwaukee again. The Chicago show will be the 23rd through the 25th of February, and then Milwaukee will be the 16th through the 18th. And really every year it brings about very good recognition for our golf courses. It gives us a lot of positive feedback. We are booking some outings and even selling, getting people interested in their golf season passes and things there. So it's a good venue for our advertising. Again, the projects that we're working on right now is refreshing the clubhouse, deep cleaning, painting. We took out some really old kitchen equipment at Pets Clubhouse. We had an old sink that had the date written on that it was installed 4/7 of 1936. So yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's great getting some of that rid of that old plumbing and old electrical and everything else that's down there. We had all the sewers cleaned out so that sewer line, so that I think the clubhouse will be able to stay a lot cleaner and fresher. Then in February we'll be moving over to Brightondale Links and getting that painted and all the furniture fixed up. We're currently ordering supplies, equipment, and merchandise. Project that I've been working on really for about a couple months is the purchase of a new third of the fleet of golf cars. So we're going out for bid and really getting some positive feedback on that and good pricing for the cars that we're looking at for next year. That's what we're working on currently, and yeah, everything's good to go in golf.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The marketing research that you said you're going to be doing, does it estimate the number of total rounds of golf played, like in the region? Like, can you look at Maple Crest and say they did 10,000 rounds?
Yeah. Or? I don't have that in depth of information. I get it from the Milwaukee area.
Yeah,
I get it through the PGA, and it'll compare the 15 courses that are up there. It compares some of the Racine courses, and then we're involved in that through the PGA. We do that.
I just out of curiosity, I thought that might be interesting, especially since some of our local golf courses are currently on the market for sale. South Hills Country Club, which is always been loosely marketed, but they actually have it on the market for a big number. But Maple Crest is on the market for a really reasonable number, so it's fairly likely that that course is going to get taken off of the supply, which should do very well for you, I would think.
Do you think it's going to be developed or something and out of being a golf course?
Well, Summers is running sewer and water to that corner of H and L, mm-hmm. which is right where Maple Crest is, and as I understand it, there's been some discussions with Summers to, because I think that was part of their land use plan to be residential, but there's been discussion to change that to industrial. And at $25,000 an acre, it's a pretty cheap industrial land. So I would say don't lower your prices just yet. You're probably going to be in sharp demand.
That wasn't really our idea. Got
it. Thank you.
We haven't changed prices in 6 years. I don't, maybe more.
Yeah, since the membership rates went down when I got here in 2009, and then basically our rates have stayed the same all the way across the board since 2010.
It's 8 years then.
Yep.
Anything else for Dan? Mr. Urbich?
I'll give you an update on Brookside. We met actually Friday afternoon with the state inspector that inspects all of the healthcare facilities with the goal of achieving occupancy for the 300 wing, the wing that connects the old and the new buildings, because that's where the rehab is going to take place. And he was good with everything. So we need this week to get some final approval or discussions actually with the city, and then we will start moving rehab equipment into that 300 wing. He clears it for takeoff, so we should be able to work things up with the city this week and start to actually move the rehab operations from the basement into that 300 wing where they're going to be long term, which even for the next few months will help out dramatically, because they won't be needing to use the elevator for going up and down all the way down in the basement with all the folks that need rehab. So that is a good thing. Let's see. HVAC systems, I've reported the past couple months that we've been kind of trying to dial in things. We struggled in getting things dialed in, and we were actually making huge headway last Wednesday. We kind of went a completely different route with how the systems had been programmed. Without getting into all the gory details, as I tend to geek out on this stuff, we have almost infinite level of control of everything in the HVAC system within Brookside. It's a good thing, it can be a bad thing. So there's a lot of variables to control. So bottom line is, we have been going down a path that probably wasn't the best. We really struggled to keep the building comfortable the past few months. kept it, but it was really, it took a bit of a struggle to do that. We unwound it, figured out what really needed to happen, and Wednesday we're making tremendous progress in changing the programs around to make everything, it was literally, the building was like blossoming like a flower. It was, everything was falling into place. And then you may have heard about 5:30 that night, we lost power to all of downtown and Brookside, literally in the middle of, I mean, it couldn't have been scripted worse. We didn't, though, lose the buildings. We were able to still control things enough overnight, and then the next day, fairly quickly actually, regain where we left off and get everything to a better place. We don't have everything completely perfect on the HVAC, but it's really, really close. The rehab building is absolutely running exactly the way it was designed now. And the CVRF, the single-story building, still needs a little help, but it's not bad, but it's much better than it was. We'll get that dialed in the next week, this week, hopefully. When we lost power, I'll talk about that. Well, I'll talk about that in the other part here. We're still targeting mid-March for moving the balance of the folks back into the renovated section. And as the chairman indicated, you know, we really, there are between Brookside, both buildings, the FMB, the detention center build, storage building, the courtroom, there's probably something else I'm forgetting, but those are four pretty significant projects that really, it would be good that everybody takes a look at, because they turned out, in all cases, I think, beyond what we originally hoped for. They really are really solid projects. They've been built for the long term, with the exception of the FMB. It was intentionally built for the short term. But we'll have to get something scheduled, throw out some dates that maybe in the next committee meeting or for the next committee meeting so that we can get something scheduled. So that's where Brookside is at. Everything's on track for mid-March move, and we're in the, and I can promise you when you do take a tour of the original Brookside, it will be a completely new experience. I think Supervisor O'Day has been
through. We're going to tour it next.
You're going to tour it next?
First of February.
For the Monday. Trustees. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. And overall department report, all divisions have been active in planning and preparation processes for 2018 operations and capital projects. Last week's power outage directly impacted the Civic Center campus in Brookside as well. The generator that we put in, as the chairman indicated, we put that in, and that doesn't maintain the entire IT network for the county, but the lion's share of the IT operations are on that new generator, and everything worked flawlessly. There was not a single hiccup. There's some pretty sensitive equipment that comes into play for the IT stuff. Everything worked the way it was supposed to work, so it was really good that we put that thing and got it going. Even though it took us a little longer than we had originally planned, it worked. Everything worked the way it needed to work for mission-critical buildings. At Brookside as well, actually, the generator there, when we sized that generator, the entire new building is fully under power. So literally, folks can still watch Andy Griffith when the direct line power is off, and they can still cook. Everything in that building is functional, as opposed to the old building where there was very, very limited operations. Mission critical stuff, the heating worked. There was only limited access. There was really no, let's say, creature comforts that had power during an event. And in Brookside, it is the one building that we lose power 3 to 4 times a year there. It's just the nature of, not related to storm events, occasionally it's typically related to traffic events that happen on 30th Avenue, just north of Washington Road on 30th Avenue. So the bottom line is that building is fully enabled and folks were able to go about their business, even though they were on generator power for about 5 hours. So it worked very well. KCDC storage building, we were hoping to get have it ready to pursue getting occupancy permit today. We didn't have the fire alarm. It was supposed to get fully connected on Friday. We didn't quite get it finished. So we're still hoping this week to get occupancy for that building. Again, it's a building that, you know, it's storage, and there's going to be some vehicle investigation work that takes place in that building. but it turned out really solid. It's a really solid building. When we had, I was impressed with, there's a fairly new technology wall panel that was used in the construction of that. It's only 4 inches thick, but on those days, when we had the minus 10 without the wind chill, you could put your hand on the inside of the wall and there was virtually no cold transfer from the outside. I was blown away because it's only about that thick, but you couldn't feel, it felt, it was warm to the touch. So it's actually, for a storage building, it's a pretty solid building that should last them many years. And we've got everything outfitted in there so they can literally drive the mobile command center in. There's a 100 amp recharging cord that gets plugged into it, and everything else has a place. So it would really be a nice place for them to now, if they have an event, they can marshal, and there's a small conference room there that can all get together and make whatever plans are necessary for whatever the event is, and all the vehicles are right there, so everybody can dispatch, boom, as opposed to going out to the sheriff's farm and picking up one vehicle, picking one up over here. They're spread out currently. Some are at the Kenosha Achievement Center. So it should be a much more efficient operation for them. That's pretty much it. Well, they should be moved in that building by the end of the month with all their equipment.
Any questions for Ray? We could have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I guess that's whoever, Franco. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you.